Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 12, if you would. We're going to read through here the first 19 verses of this chapter. We'll read responsibly today. I'll read the odd verses by myself. You can join me on the even verses out loud. If you're there, stand out of love and respect for the Word of God. If you're physically able, we're going to read and we're going to look at some things today that I hope are a blessing to you as we kind of enter this time of remembrance of the Lord. And his crucifixion and all the events that kind of lead up to it. And of course, the fact afterward of him rising from the dead and such and so forth. But we get an opportunity to think on these things this time of year. Isn't that nice? Kind of a set time to kind of bring to remembrance these things for this particular purpose. Here we are in John chapter 12. I'll begin in verse 1. You join me on verse 2 and all the even verses afterwards here in the book of John. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with them. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag, and bear witness what was put therein. I added a word there. And bear what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much of the people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of his grave, and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. And that's where we want to focus our attention today. The Pharisees, they are already going to crucify Christ. They determined it. They were, in this particular passage, considering putting Lazarus to death too. You see, but the fact that they were going to attack Christ was already laid in the works. But can I tell you something? They're questioning it. They say, hey, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Guys, is this really going to work? The whole world is gone after him. It's an amazing thought. We're going to take a look at that today as we gather together this morning around the Word of God. We have here, obviously, we can't ignore what's going on about us. A lot of folks will call this Palm Sunday. Anybody ever heard that term before? All right? Okay? And that's somewhat of a particular holiday for a particular group of folks in the Christian realm, if you will. But honestly, if we look at the scriptures here, we kind of see how this time frame happens. In John chapter 12, we see that it was 6 days before the Passover. And so it said the next day in there in verse 12. So we're talking 5 days before the Passover feast. All right. And so you have to kind of put in time frame in history. And listen, I don't have time today to go through and day by day point out to you the different things what happened when Passover happened, when those things and such and so forth that would lead up to the Lord resurrecting the Monday or the Sunday rather after the Passover. You understand how all that kind of works together. Obviously, we can't have Good Friday because that doesn't really fit in the timeline. Your math is kind of funky if you try to do that. All right, it doesn't work out that way quite how it goes. Nor does, if you will, Palm Sunday. But the essence is there. Everybody okay with that? You okay with the essence of it? They're basically, what they're trying to do is somewhat celebrate this time when Christ enters Jerusalem and he's being lauded and being praised. And, you know, it says here in verse 13, and they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, "Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." Okay, now obviously, they weren't lauding him for being the Messiah, per se. But rather, they thought that he was going to be establishing and setting up the earthly kingdom. They were looking for a deliverer, for the champion, you know, the victor to come in and release them and relieve them from Roman control. And that's really what they were looking for. And that's what they were so excited about. It was almost like an Independence Day celebration in a way for them. I mean, do you understand what's going on here? So we have this scene and this thing that taking place. And of course, the things that kind of lead up to it. And of course, I could spend much time just on verses 1-8 with the memorial that Mary sets forth for Christ and how special that was. And how these other elements kind of enter in, and that could be used as a sermon for another time in another place. And don't worry, I did think about that for a moment. But as I continued to read through the scriptures and just kind of preparation and as the Lord was kind of directing me toward these thoughts, I came to verse 19, and I just sat there for a second in my chair and I thought, I've read this verse a lot of times. I don't know how often I've actually considered what these Pharisees said. But the thought just kind of began to sink into me. And of course, I know it's the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. I can't take any credit for any of this that's said today. Because these are God's words to us. His word is special to us. And it ought to be. But notice here in verse 19, it says, "The Pharisees therefore said among themselves." So if you kind of imagine this scene as it's going on and the palm branches are being laid out and Jesus is riding in and they're throwing the coats down and they're kind of doing a victory celebration, independence type. And the Pharisees are there witnessing all this. Can you imagine them kind of standing there, right? In their robes and all their things and with scowls on their faces. You know, I don't even know if they said any words. They probably just grunted like that, mumbling. Could you imagine it? Come on, I'm a picture is a thousand words kind of person, or the other way around. So I'm not, I don't know, you can count if I'm going to be a thousand words today. I'm not sure. But you imagine, then they kind of get together. You know, they're standing there in a group, and then they kind of, the group just kind of goes like this. It goes, "Huddle up, guys." All right, we're going to go. And they start talking amongst themselves and saying, "Hey, all right, we, because listen, trust me, when they considered back in verse 11 through 14 or whatever, killing Lazarus, the plans for Christ were already laid, folks. They were going to crucify him. They were tired of his meddling in their affairs. Of his blasphemy, right? This was already said, and they're like, they're kind of like, okay, let's review this plan here. Do you see how all the people are hoorahing this guy? I mean, they're cutting branches off of trees. They're throwing their coats on the ground like he's some kind of conquering victor, right? Are we really going to be on the right side of this, guys? Because what was their worry? What was their fear? They were going to lose their place of power and prestige and in the community, right? That was important to them. So then, all right, guys, let's review the plan here. Is this going to benefit us? Are we going to come out on the right side of this thing? You know, whenever there's kind of a military coup or an upheaval, you want to be on the right side of the thing, don't you? You don't want to be on the wrong side of it. I mean, how much you want to bet they were almost maybe contemplating switching sides? Perhaps. They said, guys, maybe we got this thing backwards. Maybe we've underestimated his popularity amongst the people. Because they make a statement and say, the world. Folks, when we make statements, like your kids, moms and dads, your kids come to you, everybody's doing it. Right? Mom, can I go? Everybody's going. Or, can I have iPhone, what number are they on? Everybody has one. Hey, moms and dads, I give you permission. You can tell them, no they don't, the Combs kids don't have a cell phone. So, not everybody does, okay? And now, they say this statement, and of course it's just absurd. The whole world. We're talking about one particular crowd in Jerusalem. Cutting branches, throwing coats, cheering, having a parade as Jesus comes into town on a donkey. The whole world is gone after him. I just want you to think about that. Oh, how I wish that were true. Remember, I alluded to earlier, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We also know in Scripture that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all, hey, folks, any and all. What is that? The whole world should come to repentance. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Boy, I wish it were true that the world is gone after him. But I want you to just take a look today, and I want you to think, I want that thought to just stick in your mind. This is what the enemy thought. And at this particular juncture, after 3.5 years of ministry, open ministry on this earth, you understand that Jesus had caused quite a stir in this area of the world. And as we read in Sunday school a couple of weeks ago, at this particular time of the Passover, just these 40 days passed, this all had taken place, And there were Jews from all over the world there in Jerusalem. From all parts of the world, they had come to sojourn for Passover. For a moment. And what a time. Because obviously our Bible says, in the fullness of time, Jesus came at the right time, folks. He lived at the right time. And he was crucified and buried and rose again and ascended into heaven the right time. It was the right time. It is the right time. But we see all these things happen, and I want you to, as we talk about these things today, I want you to think about the world is gone after him. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 4. Let's look back at some of the events leading up to this time. Matthew and chapter 4. Look at verse 23. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23, it says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, that includes me, and those that had the palsy. And he healed them. And there followed him a great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan." Now that sounds like a lot of different types of people from a lot of different places. Kind of like the world has gone after him here in his ministry. I just thought of some things as we look at these ideas, and one of the reasons why they thought that the world had gone after him was because of the miracles. Because of the miracles. You notice here it says that all these people and his fame went throughout all Syria. And he was healing all manner of sickness and healing all manner of disease among the people. Hey, he was raising people from the dead. He was casting out demons and devils. In Matthew 14, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by a ship into the desert place apart. And when the people heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them. And he healed their sick. And when it was evening, the disciples came unto him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." And they said unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes." He said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. They came for the free buffet. They came for the healing of the sick and the raising of the dead. They came for the miracle. Hey, that's a lot of people to follow him around. We read it back in Matthew 4 about all the different places they came from. From Galilee, Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, beyond Jordan. All over Syria, his fame was voiced. In Matthew 15, the Bible tells us that they went up into a mountain and great multitudes came up unto him. Having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Hey, the whole world came. Because of the miracles. Over and over again,
You read through the scriptures, and I could read many more accounts to you. But we see that they brought to Jesus all of these. Remember blind Bartimaeus, right? Calling out, "Have mercy upon me." And he healed him. The lepers came to him. People brought their children that were possessed and filled with devils to be healed. The whole world.
What's kind of the thing going on in our world today? You have these faith healers and people are wanting to be healed, folks. Sometimes people will come seeking God because a loved one gets cancer, or a loved one has an operable disease or a terminal illness, and they come to Jesus looking for a miracle. The whole world looking for miracles. Hey, don't people like miracles? Any of you ever experienced a miracle? Absolutely. Isn't that nice when that happens? These Pharisees, they had witnessed this for 3.5 years. Hey, listen, they had their thumb on it, folks. They knew what was going on. They had spies and informants everywhere. They knew where he went, what he said, what he did. And you understand, these guys were not novices. Okay, it's like these guys were like CIA deluxe. Okay, I mean, they had their fingers in everything. The Pharisees, these were not amateurs. They were pros. They knew what was going on. And they made the comment, "The whole world is gone after him. The world has gone after him for the miracles." In Luke 12:1, it says, "In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people." Yeah, it says that in your Bible. Innumerable multitude of people. Insomuch that they trod one upon another. Wow. He began to say unto his disciples, "First of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees," which is hypocrisy. But do you notice that, in a way, maybe they weren't overreacting to say the world has gone after him? Over in Mark chapter 3, it says that Jesus withdrew himself and disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea and from Jerusalem, from Idumea, which is beyond Jordan, and they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude. Isn't that amazing? It says that this great multitude, when they had heard the great things which he did, came unto him. And he spake to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should throng him. For he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him. Remember the woman that came to him with the issue of blood? All she wanted to do was just get a hold of his garment to be healed. Insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him, as many as had plagues and unclean spirits. When they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, "Thou art the Son of God." And he straitly charged them that they should not make him known. They came to him. The whole world has gone after him for his miracles. Now let's look at another aspect. Why the Pharisees mentioned this statement of the whole world going after Christ. Not only for his miracles, but for the amazement. Like a sideshow. Right? I mean, how many of you enjoy a good, maybe magic act or juggling act, or, you know, I mean, it's entertainment, right? I mean, it's interesting. How'd you like to go and see somebody who was blind from birth receive their sight? I mean, come on. That's a pretty good trick, right? Or here. Bum, bum, bum. Bum, 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 bum. Whoa. Remember that in Maine? It's a funeral procession, folks. I mean, come on. Wouldn't you be, you know, that's what I want. Beware. I'm going to have my coffee cup glued to my hand and a spring-loaded stick. At my funeral. That's what I want. Okay. Did you write that down? She's like, no. And just ran. Would you all go out the back door? Okay, you're like, I'm not coming to your funeral, Master Cole. Hey, for amazement. Amazement. I mean, think about it. His fame spread abroad. Didn't we just read that? He was famous. Okay, like the Ringling Brothers Circus or something, you know. And you got all these disciples that do tricks. They hold baskets of food. Yeah, they walk on water. Did you see Peter? That's a cool acting. Whoa, yeah. Healing sick people, right? Curing leprosy. This is amazing. Hey, you know what? Some people came for the amazement. Marveling, wondering, in awe. In Luke chapter 4, it says, and all were amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. I mean, whoa. We got this little boy throwing himself in the water, throwing himself in the fire, and Jesus says, out. And he does. Remember this in Luke chapter 9? And it came to pass, and on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look on my son, for he is mine only child, and lo, a spirit taketh him, and suddenly it crieth out, and teareth him, and he foameth again, bruising him hardly, and hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. Remember that story? And Jesus answering and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered every one at all things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, lest these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood not this saying, that it was hid from them, and they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. Remember this, as he went through the different coasts and different areas in Mark chapter 7, and again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coast of Decapolis, and they bring unto him one that was deaf, and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand on him, and he took him aside from the multitude, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit, and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed, and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more, a great deal, they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, he had done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. The whole world was gone after him because of the miracles and because of the amazement. Hey, you have to understand. Something fell out of the pulpit. You have to understand, there was no Hollywood. Okay? There were no box office action movies that blow your mind by way of the graphics and the special effects, and there were no lightsabers and robots that turned from cars into fighting action figures, and there was none of that junk. This caused
quite a stir in the known world at this time. It was amazing. And they came out for the amazement of it. Over in Luke chapter 8, when they had fed them, they saw what was done, and they fled and went and told it into the city and country. And when they went out to see what was done, it came to pass when they found the man. This is talking about the man that was amongst the graves, cutting himself, and was full of this devil legion. Remember that? And Jesus meets him, and he casts him out into the swine, and the swine go like lemmings. Whee! What a waste of bacon. Amen. But it went out there, and they came out, the people of the city, right? And they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by which means he is possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country, the Gadarenes round about, besought him to depart. Hey, they were so amazed. They're like, okay, that was cool, but you need to go. Yeah, the whole city came out and said, sir, we don't want you here. That's a little too freaky for us. You can take your freak show somewhere else. And then they sent him away. And the man, of course, wanted to go with Jesus. And he said, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Over in Matthew 13, it says, and it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was coming to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue. Hey, listen. He didn't change. He still healed people. He still preached the word with boldness as one that had authority, the scribe said. Came to his own country. The folks that knew, the hometown hero. They weren't amazed. Well, they kind of were. Insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man wisdom in these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? When did he learn these tricks? What, did he go to college? When did he go to school? Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. And just trying to illustrate today and just kind of review for us this idea of Christ and what the Pharisees said, that the world is gone after him for the miracles and for the amazement. But you know what? As we kind of switch gears, as we close out this message this morning, for all honesty and intents and purposes, isn't that what the multitude kind of is seeking anyways? Oh, they want healing from their infirmities. They want relief from the hardships of this life. They're looking for something amazing. I mean, why do you think that these guys that are faith healers and these people that have these mega churches and things like that draw such a crowd? Well, it's a good show. I mean, I just watch the religious channel sometimes just for fun. You know, this guy comes down in crutches. Oh, be healed! Falling over, you know, I just laugh. Because that's not real. Can God heal? Yes, he can. Doesn't do it that way. It's not a show, folks. You know what? He only did this in this time and day and time because the Jews required a sign. They was foretold that that's how it was going to be. He wasn't doing it for popularity. He was doing it to draw men unto himself for salvation. Oh, the whole world. The world has gone after him, the Pharisees said. Hey, look at this crowd. They're cutting down branches. They're throwing down coats. They're shouting out, Hosanna, glory to God. You know, they're thinking that they're being relieved from their physical circumstances. Being freed from the tyranny of the Roman government. They came for the miracles. They came for the amazement. But what they really needed to come for was for salvation. John was sent one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." Hey, there's one that's coming after me. He's the one you need to look to. He's the one that you need. "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world," John proclaimed. You know what? Our text, if you go back there to John chapter 12, this was a real thing. The Bible tells us here that many came to Christ because of Lazarus being raised from the dead. Hey folks, listen, the people that were blind and halt and maimed, and the man in Gadara, and the widow's son at Nain, and these others, these lepers that were healed, they came to intimately know Christ as their Savior. It was more than just a miracle. It was more than just a show. It was salvation in Christ Jesus. I know that in the book of Acts, it tells us 120 were gathered together in one accord in one place. But can I tell you, Christ reached more than that in his earthly ministry. Many were saved because of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which is lost. He came to do the work of him that sent him. We know that Jesus was here to make fishers of men. They came out to hear the word of God. Take your Bibles and look, turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Oh, some came for the miracles. Some came for the amazement. But some actually came to hear the word of God from this strange individual, Jesus Christ. I love what Andrew said. "Hey, we found the Messiah, Peter. Come on. We got to hear this guy. He has the words of life. He has salvation." And certainly he does. Are you there in Luke chapter 5? Look at verse 1. "It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God." Why did they come? What does it say? Did they come for the miracles? No. Did they come for the amazement? No. What did they come to hear? Word of God. Some came for salvation, folks. Some came to hear the word of God. "And he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's." Who's that guy, Simon? Peter. "And prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and sat down and did miracles," right? That's what it says. "And put on a show." Magic that. Now you don't see him. Now you see him.
Now he can't go.
Now he can. Right? It was, no, 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 no. "He would thrust out a little from the land and sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking," oh hey, he didn't stop there. "All right guys, this session's over. Come back again for the next time." He said unto Simon, "Launch out in the deep. Let down your nets for a draught." And Simon said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all the night and taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net." When they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes in their net break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were the other ship, and they would come and help them. When they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink." That's a lot of fish, folks. That's pretty cool. That's pretty amazing. "When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord.' For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. So also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were the partners with Simon." Recognize those names? Doesn't end there. "And Jesus said unto Simon, 'Fear not. From henceforth, thou shalt catch men.'" When they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Aren't you glad that Jesus came to seek sinners? Aren't you glad that Jesus came to train fishers of men? To go out and to preach the gospel to every creature. To go and to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You understand that some came for miracles. Some came for amazement. But some came for salvation. Remember the guy in John chapter 3 named Nicodemus? Remember this group of Pharisees, they were huddled up together. The world has gone after him, guys. Are we really on the right track here? Well, I'm glad Nicodemus wasn't in that group. He already met Christ. Face to face. I don't have to read to you John 3 and talk about how Nicodemus asked about salvation. Jesus shared with him. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Hey, remember the rich young ruler? He came to Jesus. Well, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Remember that? And he went away sorrowful. See, he had great possessions. Oh, listen, folks. What are you seeking Jesus for? What are you going after him for? The miracles? The amazement? Or perhaps salvation? Over in Mark chapter 12, one of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first commandment of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. The scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he, and to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. As he continues, it says here, And no man durst ask him any question. And Jesus answered and said, While he taught in the temple, How say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? And for David himself said by the Holy Ghost, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore himself calleth him Lord. And whence is he then his son? And the common people heard him gladly. Remember what it says in Acts chapter 1? Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. They were added unto them how many? 3,000. Were added to the church that day. You see, I think this is an amazing time. Go back to John chapter 12 as we close today. Wow, where did the time go? Somebody should have raised their hand at 12 o'clock. I would have just waved back at you. It wouldn't have done any good. As we close today, I just want you to think about this. What drew this thought to the mind of the Pharisees? If you will, we're entering this time where Christ goes through these events. And we have the preparation of the Lord's Supper and all these things and the Passover with the disciples and, of course, the betrayal of Christ and the garden and all those events that happen. The crucifixion, the burial, the resurrection. I'd encourage you to read through these chapters very carefully this week. Spend some time in meditating and thinking on these things. But as we just close today and think about this, what drew this thought to the mind of the Pharisees. The world has gone after him. Some because of the miracles. Some because of the amazement, the fame, the popularity that Christ had achieved over 3.5 years of ministry on this earth. But some followed him because of salvation. Why do you seek the Lord? Why do you follow after him? Why is it that you would be one of the ones in the throng that was counted that the world has gone after him? This time is a time to meditate, a time to think, a time to ponder. Why am I following Jesus? I hope it's because he's your Savior. If you're on the outside looking in today and you know not Christ, today can be the day of salvation for you. I love the old hymn, though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. At an old-fashioned altar today, you can trust Christ as your Savior. And if you already have, if you've already experienced the greatest miracle of all, the miracle of salvation in your own life, would you maybe ask the question, why am I gone after him? To serve him, worship him, love him, that he might have the preeminence in my life? Just a thought. Just one of those things that stuck out to me as I was thinking on those things. The world has gone after.